Praise God. There we go. Hello. Woo. Well, that sounds loud. Is that loud? We're talking all Englewood now. And the speaker's outside. Who the heck is that dude? Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do, you know, in other countries, you know. They put these huge speakers, and their amplifiers can't really carry it, so they crank the amplifiers up all the way, and they just put these speakers outside so as many people in the area can hear. It's amazing the number of people that we've seen that heard the sound. It could be what we would call like 10 blocks away. They hear the sound. They hear the message. They come. They say, I was a witch, and I heard the truth about Jesus Christ, and I want this Jesus. I want to get free of this. Hearing it like that, isn't that amazing? You try to do that here, you're going to get arrested. You're going to get put in jail for disturbing the peace. No, it's releasing the peace. Yeah, amazing. What did I say? Oh yeah. So yeah, that's, I saw that the first time in Amplified many years ago. It's whatever you loose, whatever has already been loosed in heaven, you go ahead and loose it. Whatever has already been bound in heaven, you can go ahead and bind it. It's not, the burden is not on us. Burden is on God, who already performed it, and all we do is declare it. I mean, that's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. Why the heck would we want the old covenant? It's too much work. Too hard. Make it easy. Make it easy. Jesus made it easy for us. What's obedience in the new covenant? Oh, that's right. It's that simple. Old covenant obedience, you got to do tons of stuff. And there's tons of people still today in churches all over this country and all over the world that are thinking they got to do all this stuff to get the favor of God, to get the blessing of God, to get the power and anointing of God, and they're clueless about what they've already been given. And all we do, new covenant obedience, is believe the truth. Just believe. The Spirit of God responds to faith. When he sees faith, he releases. He sees faith, he releases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving us life. Thank you for giving us life. We thank you that we can know you. We can walk with you. We can bring forth your kingdom everywhere we go. We can not only be eternally changed ourselves, but we can help many other people all over our world receive the same life. So we thank you for it, God. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to give you 5 minutes synopsis, maybe four, maybe six, of this last mission trip, okay? I know that because I've got a word that I want to share with you, and I don't want to keep you here all morning, and I want you to be able to catch it, so... It was, as you know, I went to Zambia, first time in that country, and whenever I go somewhere first time, they don't really know about us, and they're always, all these church leaders sitting there, and they're looking at me like, what's he gonna do? You can see the look in their faces, like, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna say? Is it gonna fit with our theology? You know, you can see all this going on, and you know, the little bit of tension. And I love it in Acts where the writer of Acts says Jesus began both to do and to teach. He didn't just teach, but sometimes he had to do first to get their attention, and then he taught. And so I just got right up there and I says, you know, I've never been to Bible college, guys, ladies, never been to Bible college. I've only been to Holy Ghost College. And I'll tell you, that's the best college that there is. To be taught by the Spirit of God and not by the wisdom of man, not by the wisdom of religious people who just want to pack your head full of religious knowledge. It's great to be taught by the Spirit of God himself because he's the giver of life. And what are people after? I mean, what are people really after? I've discovered being all over the world, what they really want is to meet the real God. They want to be touched by the real God. They don't want to hear all this stuff that produces no life and no power. in their life. They want to see what you've got is better than what they got. They want to see if you're even Muslims, you know. With Muslims, we don't preach to Muslims. We demonstrate with Muslims. We show them the power, and then they say, tell me about this Jesus. He just did this to me. Yeah. I want to know him. I said, better yet, you can receive him. And they do. And that's, you know, that's the way. So these people are, they're all already close to my limit. Sorry. I thought it's 4 minutes. My God. Oh, thank you. You timing me? Okay, you got to duck for the water time, okay? All right. Okay. So it was really cool. Just to start it right out, I don't remember what it was. There's so many miracles. In fact, I only saw, there's only one person I prayed for. It had to be close to 1,000 people. Holy Spirit and I were the team, as you know. Didn't have a big team. Could have used a big team. But I had enough of a team. Hallelujah. So I don't remember what the first thing was, but I just gave a word, and a whole bunch of hands went up. And in fact, every time I gave a word, a whole bunch of hands went up. And then after a while, you give a word, and they come, whether it's the words for them or not. They're just coming because they're seeing God do all this stuff. So they're just going to come and get prayer. And miracle happened right away, another miracle right away, within seconds, right away. And now all the expressions on their faces changed. Everyone was like slipped over to the edge of the seat. And they're like, okay, now we got their attention. Now they're listening. Now they're ready to receive. And receive they did. It was so blasted amazing. So amazing. I don't think I've ever had a time where I did so much demonstration with the teaching. It was, I would teach them who they are in Christ and say, now I'm going to demonstrate to you what the Holy Spirit will do through you. And then I pray for someone and I take them through what I'm thinking on the inside, what's going on in my heart, the words that are coming out of my mouth, why I'm saying those words, why this is going to happen, why the kinds of things that come against them to make them think it's not going to happen. Just that kind of teaching over and over and over again. And they just loved it. They really loved it. There was a major, major transformation to the point where church leaders, they did not want me to leave. They tried everything to restrain me from leaving. They wanted me to stay there for at least a few months. I said, well, I'm going to get my wife on the phone. I'm going to let you tell her that because I don't think you're going to get agreement, okay? No, it takes a little bit more planning than that. We were in one district. I think there's 6 districts in the whole country of Zambia. Not big. It's smaller than an average American state. Not a big country. And they, one of the times, the interpreter, they told me the national language was English. Well, you know, when we started ministering and started talking, I said, that is not any English that I've ever heard. Their national language is English, but they've got some kind of thing going on they've changed it tremendously, and now I couldn't understand any of it. And one of the times I had an interpreter, it was the guy, the political head of the whole district. And he was just completely blown away. And he looked me in the face, he said, we're getting you citizenship to the country of Zambia. I started laughing. He says, I'm serious, man. We're getting you citizenship to the country of Zambia. I kept laughing. I thought he was joking with me. He said, I am not joking. He said, you need to be back here again and again, and you shouldn't have to be paying all those visa fees. If you're a citizen, you don't have to pay visa fees. You just come and go as you please. He said, and we want you to please come and go. So I said, yeah, okay. We were going to take the people out to some of the neighborhoods to go house to house after we went through training, and it was raining, really raining hard. They said it was unusual for rain to come. So I said, well, we got to have some training, man. What can we do? They said, the hospital. I said, okay, we're just going to go to the hospital? They said, yeah, we're going to go to the hospital. So we went to the hospital. went to the guy who was in charge of the hospital. It was 300 sick people in this hospital. Went to the guy who's in charge of the hospital, and the guy who brought me over there, he tells him, okay, we got here a bunch of reverends, a bunch of pastors, a bunch of bishops. What's going on with all these names, you know? And he said, we've come to, you know, to get the people healed and out of the hospital. And the administrator sitting there said, I'll arrange it immediately. I expected there to be some resistance. You know, he said, we'll arrange it immediately. So there's eight buildings, and these buildings are like just like big halls with one bed next to another bed next to another bed, men, women, doesn't matter. It's just all, they're just packed. And the physical conditions is really bad. I mean, it's really like, didn't look healthy to be there. Certainly, you know, here we talk about, you know, you got to have everything sterile. There was nothing sterile there. There was nothing sterile there. So we had about 30 people that came from the meeting, because that's all we could find vehicles for. And we went there, and we went through the whole hospital, and those people had an absolute blast. Just watching these people, the pain go out of their bodies, watching them take a step without pain where they couldn't do it before. They just had a blast. And of course, that just stoked them even more. And we got to the end. I'll tell you, the last thing we did was we had a service in a bush church. Way out. We're already in the bush, but I mean, way out in the bush. The building was maybe like from this part right here, from the edge of the door where Nancy's sitting, this part over here. And they had 250 people in there. Picture this, 250 people in this space. I mean, they were like on top of each other, and they did not care. They didn't care how sweaty it was. They didn't care how hot it was. They didn't care how uncomfortable physically it was. They were just so excited to be there. They heard the reports of what God was doing, and they wanted to be there. And I talked to the pastor of that church. I said, you don't normally have this many people in your church, do you? He says, no, we have about 20. So all these people are from the village around, stuffed into this church. And I knew it was Salvation Day. I knew these people were there to be saved. So I gave a very short message, telling them about Jesus, some demonstration of power with some people that were sick getting healed. And then I invited them to turn their hearts to Jesus, to place their faith in him. And it's just, I got a video of this. Hands everywhere. Everywhere. There had to be over 200 people that received salvation that morning. And I'm just standing there, and tears are coming down my eyes, because I am seeing what God allowed me to see as all these new family members came into the kingdom. Wow. 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 And their customs there were very, very different. The women, they would, before I would get up to teach, they'd come and they'd sing to me. They'd come and they're singing. Then they pick up my Bible. They pick up my Bible like this. And they would dance and sing, bringing it all the way over to the platform. They go around the platform a couple times, and they're singing and they're dancing, and they set it down, and then they look at me and go like that. Okay, come on. Oh, man. And they're giving testimonies, and of course, they're giving them like crazy, and they're giving them in their language. You know, after they gave about 10 of them, I raised my hand and said, hey, could somebody give me the English of this? And so one of the pastors came over, sat next to me, and I got a whole bunch of those testimonies recorded. I turned on my recorder, and I recorded them in English. I'm going to put them in the report. It's going to be up on the website. All the messages, I think there was 10 of them, 10 messages this time. Imagine doing all that in 1 week. Actually, 5 days. That's a lot. That's a lot, but it was so much fun. It was so much fun. It was just so much fun. So much fun. Well, I had to take 4 airplanes. The last airplane was a bush plane, propeller plane. And we, it's like I had to take my stomach from here and push it back down here a few times, you know. You know, I'm sitting there. It's just, you know, very small. It was only like 20 people on. It would fit 20 people on the plane, maxed out. And a guy next to me, he's, we're like on each side of the walkway. The guy next to me, they're starting to take off, and he's going, yeah. I said, it's going to be okay, man. It's going to, really, it's going to be okay. I got Jesus with me. It's going to be okay. Wow. Anyways, maybe I'll be able to get more together for you. One of the pastors used my phone and took about 100 hours of video. Tons of video. He was videoing, you know, not much of a teaching, but all of the praying, all the miracles that were happening, he's just, you know, doing this. And got a lot of that stuff on video, and hopefully I'll get to put some of it together for you to see if you want to. Amen. How far over did I go? Oh, yeah. That's all good. I'd love to get into all the specifics with you, but I could just go all morning, and I really want to get you this word, if that's okay with you. You know, we went there, I told you before, they were going to put me in the miracle house. It's a place where, a guest house, where they people go. They're just little rooms, you know, like a strip hotel kind of thing. And we're walking down there, and I'm looking at the doors, and all the doors have different names of God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, all the different names of God. And I'm just thinking, Jehovah Rapha would be really good on this trip. And we kept going, and they turned, and they said, this is your room. I looked at the door and said, Rapha. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, was he. Amen, was he. Wow. Whew. They said they had never in their life ever seen anything like that, ever. And they many testimonies were that, you know, we've heard good teaching over the years, but we've never, ever seen the gospel demonstrated like this, ever. And they were so thankful, as was I. What's that? Oh. Yeah, they said, here's what we want to do. We got six districts. You just went to one, so you know we need you in the other five. And can you do it now? No, I can't do it now. Can you do it next year? I don't know. I can't make that promise. Yes. Yeah. I asked them it. I said, I don't know if I can do that. And the guy said, I assure you, you can do it. We've done it for other people that we could, you know, we could really care that we're even here, but we really want you here. And he says, it can be arranged. It's totally legal. You make five trips, it's going to save you about $1,500 in visa fees. Okay. All right. So, okay. Harvey, would you put up Jeremiah 29:11 in Amplified? Please. This is Mother's Day. If you're able to make it to the end here, we want to pray and bless all the mothers. If you're a mother, you could say amen. Hallelujah. I said that one Mother's Day, and some guy said, I'm a mother. I said, what? He says, yeah, I've been called that all my life. Oh, great. Great. That was not what we were talking about, okay, dude? That's Englewood. Jeremiah 29:11. Amplified. How many have memorized that verse? What version did you memorize it in? See that? God's speaking. He's saying it to old covenant people. Okay, they did not have the Holy Spirit living in them. For I know the thoughts and plans. For I know the thoughts and plans. The NIV says, for I know the plans that I have for you. And some, like King James, says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I love this one. For I know that the thoughts and plans the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope and your final outcome. To give you, as the King James says, to give you an expected end. To give you, he says, according to my plans for you, I want you to be able to have an expected end. Where you're going to end up. What's going to be done when you're done with your time here on earth. What's going to be done as you get to the end of your time on earth. I want you to have an expected end where you can expect, according to my plans, this great, awesome thing that I have done for you. Now, would you agree that for most people, they think, okay, I don't know if God really has any plans for me. I don't know if he does have plans for me other than just kind of like go through life. That it's certainly, that I'm never going to really have plans like these great people that have been mightily used by God and do all this great, tremendous things. And that, I'm not really that important, and I haven't had any evidence that God's doing something great in my life or has great plans. And I don't really hear from God that much. And, that's the prevailing understanding. Even amongst church leaders, they think, well, I just thought that I decided to do this one day and I'm doing it, but I'm just like struggling through and I'm not really seeing great victory in the things that I'm doing. And maybe I really didn't get called, or maybe it's not really of God that I'm supposed to be here. All these crazy thoughts go through our minds. God says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Every one of you in this room right now, God has specific plans for every one of you. And every single plan that he has for your life is totally off the chart awesome. It's totally, it would completely blow you away to know the fullness of the plan of God. But he wants you to know. So the enemy comes to put these thoughts into your head that, you're one of those mediocre people, okay? You'll get by. You'll manage. God will give you help when you need it. But to do big things for God ain't going to happen with you. What a liar he is. What a liar he is. I'm telling you, every plan for every life that God gives is big. And it's necessary in the kingdom of heaven. It's not small. It's really big. And in the heart of God, in eternity past, before you were ever born, he knew you. He saw you, and he purposed to put into your being when you were created his purpose and his plan. We don't come to earth, we don't get born on earth to find God's plan. We've already been given his plan. We don't come to find purpose. He's already put purpose in your spirit, in you. He created you with it. Okay? These are Old Testament people. Old Testament people. I'm going to show you a scripture in just a minute about the New Covenant people. It gets even better. It gets even better. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. All the promises of God. Now, you know what? When I really understood that scripture, I looked at the Old Testament in an extremely different new light, an awesome light. Like, there's tons of promises in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Okay, and I was always taught, okay, it says if you'll do this, if you're obedient to do this, then God will do this, okay? Now, here's the good news of the New Covenant. Jesus was fully obedient for you. Okay, because of his obedience, because he did what he was called to do on your behalf, because he took the penalty and punishment for you on your behalf, because he did all that for you. Now, all the promises and all the book are yes, God says, for you. You read it, you say, is this for me? He says, yes. Is this one for me? Yes. And what else does he say? And amen. Thus shall it be if you are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Everybody here is in Christ. If you are in Christ, every blasted promise in this Bible is for you. It's for you. Okay, so the religion still gets us trying to think, like, okay, I got to meet the old covenant qualifications for this. I need to do all these things to get this favor, to get this promise. No. New covenant obedience is simply believe. Simply believe. the bulk of the message I give out there is only believe. Jesus, they said to Jesus, how do we get to do all these things, Jesus? How do we get to see your kingdom manifested like this? He said, only believe, guys. He never said, well, if you do this and you do that and you fast and pray for 50 days, you know, no. He said, only believe. Only believe. We are one faith step away from entering into the glory zone like you've never known it before. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's people over there asking, how do you do these things you do? How does all this happen? And then they say, is this you or the Holy Spirit? I always say yes. No, you don't understand. Is this you doing these things, or is this the Holy Spirit doing these? I say yes. It's both of us. My spirit become one with the Holy Spirit, and together we are releasing the truth of the gospel. It's not any different here than it is there. Same Holy Ghost living inside of you. Same power and authority of Jesus Christ living inside of you. It's the same. How does it happen? Only believe. The Holy Spirit looks to see when there's faith. When there's faith on the truth of what Jesus has done. The finished work of Jesus. When your faith is in what he has done already for you, the Spirit of God sees that and poof, releases. It's not you trying to make nothing happen. Okay, that's religion. It's about you simply believing. Simply believing. So there's a plan for every one of us here this morning. A plan for you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. For you to look just like Jesus. How many of you would like that? Would you like that? Would you like to look just like Jesus? I don't mean physically, okay? Don't be thinking, ladies, I'm going to look like... No. To do, to think, because you have the mind of Christ inside of your spirit. To do, to think, to act just like Jesus would if Jesus was standing here. Because you know what? He is standing here. He's standing here in me, and he's standing here inside of you right now. Only believe. Only believe. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit. We think that means that we, like a glass, and you want to get half a glass, you want to get half filled with the Spirit, so you want to get half of the kingdom, only half of the power, you know. No, it's not what he's saying. To be filled with the Spirit is to be under the influence, under the control of the Spirit of God. That's what he means. That's why he says, and do not be drunk with wine. In this same verse, he says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Why does he compare being filled with the Spirit with being drunk with wine? Because, I used to be a physical drunkard in the world. I came under strong influence of the alcohol. The more I drank, the more under the influence I became. In the Spirit, the more I drink of the Holy Spirit, the more I trust in him, the more I rely on him, the more under his influence I become. Until I begin to look like who he's come to manifest. He's come to manifest Jesus. Until I begin to look like him and talk like him and act like him. It just happens. Only believe. Hee-haw. Hee-haw. And I love demonstrating that. I love to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Under it. So we're gonna look at maybe four or five Old Testament scriptures that help are gonna help you, okay? That you're gonna want to meditate on. You're gonna want to believe God for so that you can experience the full plan that God has for you in this life. You know, if I were to ask a poll right now, and ask, you know, how many of you believe that you know what God's plan is for your life and you're walking in the fullness of it, there wouldn't be too many people raising their hands. If I were to ask, how many of you even begin to know what God's plan for you is? It might be a number of people. I don't begin to understand. That's not his will. His will is for you to know, for you to understand, okay? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, Yet God, the things that God has prepared for you. That's quoting an Old Testament scripture. And then he has a big, to me, he says, big but. Then we got a big but comes, okay? But he says, but these things have been revealed to you by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you to reveal to you what only God the Father knows. The Holy Spirit is searching, continually searching the heart and mind of the Father about his thoughts towards you. And he will release that to you if you believe. You understand, everything comes to us in the kingdom as we have faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us. It doesn't come by us striving or trying, or trying to make things happen, or trying to learn more, trying to be smarter, or trying, doesn't, it's not how it comes. All right. Here's a New Testament counterpart. Ephesians, to this Jeremiah 29:11. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You ready? You got it, buddy? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Okay, have you been created in Christ Jesus? Okay, for you are his workmanship. Hallelujah. Works. Created what? For good works. You were created in Christ Jesus. You were born again in heaven, and placed inside Christ Jesus for what? To do good works, which God prepared beforehand, before you ever were, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. How about that? You like it? God prepared works for every one of us, and they're specific to each one of us. He planned a whole life full from the moment you came to Christ. Because this promise is for those who are in Christ. So the moment you receive him, this gets released. Isn't that awesome? How does it happen? How does it happen? Only believe. Did he pass gas? Don't tell me. Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Here she's excited about the word, and I'm thinking about little guy passing gas. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, look at this. Isaiah 42. Are you ready? You're going to go back a little bit in your Bible. Go back about a 16th of an inch in pages. Isaiah 42, 16. Isaiah 42, 16. Now, when we look at this, what do we say about all the promises of God are yes and amen for you who are in Christ Jesus? Okay, when you read these things, read them as a promise. Declare them as something that's been given and belongs to you. So I will bring, God's saying, I will bring the blind away they did not know. How many of you felt blind in where the heck you're going or what your life's all about or what's this plan that God's got for you? You felt like, man, I feel like a blind man, okay? Okay, I will bring the blind by a way. Who's bringing who where? God's bringing. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness, I love this. I will make darkness light. I will make the, God's saying, I will make the darkness in your life, the things you can't see, can't understand. He's saying, I will make those things light before you and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. That promise in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. God says amen. If you believe, God says amen, this is for you. You believe, God says, amen, this is for you. You got some dark spots in your life? Okay, I'm going to bring light. Oh, that reminds me of something else that happened. It's true. Usually when we get to the end, in the end of the meeting with the pastors, I will tell them, okay, the last thing we're going to do is we're just going to have you come if you want, and we're going to pray, prophesy over you and bless you, and we're going to pray for each one of you individually, okay? And they all went, yeah! Okay. Well, it's already 6 o'clock at night because we had two sessions, and they were really long. It's 6 o'clock at night, and we get to this point. And, of course, nobody's leaving. And I said, okay, now I want you to come, and I'm gonna pray over you. So they all come. There's not enough room for them to make one long line. So they had three lines from the front of the building all the way to the back. And I start praying over the first lady. I'm praying and releasing blessing. I get to the second lady, and our host pastor says to me, wait a minute. I said, yeah, what? He says, I have an announcement to make. Okay. This is what he says. He says, I know. Every one of you have got some darkness in your life that you haven't seen. Every one of you need for deliverance in some area of your life, and you're in darkness in that area. And I'm believing right now that what Pastor Tony's going to do is he's going to release it. He's going to pray for all of you to get free in those areas. And I'm looking at him like, what? What? And he says, yep, that's what God told me. I said, okay. You know, I thought he was off his rocker. I thought, you know what we've been doing here all week long? These people have massively come into the light. What are you talking about? That they all, and now I'm going to pray for deliverance for. So he says, in fact, we can't do it out here. We need to go in this separate room. They have a smaller separate room. We need to go in there. Because we don't want other people to see what might happen to some of the people. So, okay, so we went in another room, and we had a lady in there, and I had two other man pastors, because I, of course, would not go in a closed room by myself with women especially. Just so you know that. It's always been that way, because I'm not giving the devil no room. Anyways, we go in there, and it was 4.5 hours later. And every one of those people, they had things that they thought they had to live with. They had things that had prayer. Nothing's ever changed. You know, those kinds of things that they needed to be free from, related to their spouse a lot of times, sometimes with their kids, and we got them free, one after another after another. I mean, it was manifestations. It was all kinds of, the way they handle when somebody manifests, okay, it's that country is just like every other one, especially in Africa. As soon as somebody starts to manifest, they go, you know, that kind of stuff. They dive bomb them. I mean, they like grab a hold of them and they start to wrestle them and, you know, make them stop. And I tell them, you know, you don't wrestle. You're not going to wrestle against demons. They're going to whip your butt. Okay, you have weapons that are more powerful. You have weapons that are far greater. And they're spiritual weapons through the name of Jesus. And it's all you need to use. We had a lot of those demonstrations when I was praying for people. They would start to manifest. And I tell everybody, back off. You could see them. They all just wanted to dive bomb these people, right? I said, back off. Leave them alone. Don't touch them. I'm going to show you God's way, the loving way, to get them free. And there was no screaming. There was no yelling. There was no wrestling. It's very calmly commanding the demons to stop and then releasing the love that these people need to have, and they all got free. And it wasn't because I didn't say, there, now you're free. I never said that. They would say it. I'm free. I don't tell people when they're free. They know when they're free. And it was amazing. So here, you know, all these people, it was 4.5 hours of praying, one after another, after another. So now, we started that at 6. It's 10:30 at night now. And then, now they're all waiting outside so they can bless me and hug me before I go. And it was the next morning before I got out of there. Wow. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we? I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. This is how I read this, okay? I say, Thank you, Lord, that when I am blind, when I can't see, when I don't know or have any idea where I'm going, you lead me. You are leading me. You are leading. You are leading me. You are leading me. I declare it. You are removing darkness from before me, and you are bringing me into the light. Thank you for that, Lord. Every bit of darkness that's in me right now, I'm thanking you, Lord. Your light is going to shine on every last spot of any darkness in me. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. I'm believing the promise. It's for me. And the Spirit of God sees my faith, and all of a sudden, you realize, wow, these things I will do for them. I will, the crooked places he makes straight. I say, thank you, Lord, for making the crooked places. You know, if you were to think about it, you all got a couple crooked places. Making the crooked places straight. Amen. 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 Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Here's a couple things, okay? We need to determine that we're going to be led by God. We need to determine we're going to be led by God. Not by our, now listen, not by our opinions. I will be led by God, not by my opinions. I will be led by God, not by my opinions. I will be led by God, not, now watch this, not by my thinking. I will be led by God, not by my understanding. Amen. Amen. I love it when they say amen. I love it when they say amen. I will be led by God and not by my feelings. I will be led by God and not by my circumstances. What am I doing? I'm declaring he said he would lead me. He said he would lead me. So I'm declaring, okay, I'm making a holy exchange here. Okay, I'm not going to be led by those things. I'm going to be led by you. Now here the confusion comes in with many people is, how does he do it? I say I'm going to be led by God, but how does he lead me? And a lot of people don't know. I'm going to tell you about that, okay? I'm going to make it so blasted easy for you. You're going to walk out of here laughing. The second thing is consecrate yourself to the Lord. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Did Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, did he buy you and pay for you with his precious blood? Did he? Do you belong to him now? Okay, if you believe that, then say, okay, see this hand, Lord? See this hand? I consecrate them to you. They belong to you. Use them. Use them. For your purposes. These feet, these legs, this mouth, I consecrate them for your purposes, Lord. You use them. I trust you to use them. And then we need to believe that the Holy Spirit is doing the work necessary for that to happen. What does Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says? For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. He works in you. If you want him to, if you will, you say, I will do your will. You show me your will, I will do it. You show me your will, I will do it. If you believe that, you declare that, and you believe that in your heart, then he will release his will for you, and then he will give you the power and the grace to do it. It's all about God. Aren't we glad that this new covenant that we're under is not about us and what we have to do? It's all about God and what he has already done for us and now will release through us. That's the new covenant. It's the beauty of the new covenant. It's not us striving and trying to manipulate and make things happen in our life and get our situations fixed and straightened out. No! It's about believing. Freedom. Freedom. Look at Isaiah 48, 17. Isaiah 48, 17. 48:17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit. I think God's idea of us profiting is different than the world's idea of profiting. I want God's idea of profiting. I tried the world's way. All I did was get was very tired at the end of the day. Profiting. He said, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Okay, so what do I do with this? Out of my mouth comes, I am led and I know which way to go. What am I saying? I'm making a faith statement. I am led and I know which way to go. And I'm saying that at a time that my awareness of that is not there. But by faith, I am saying, I am led because God said he's leading me. I am led and I know which way to go. When I don't know which way to go, but I'm speaking by faith and God sees the faith knowing that he can release that so that I can. That's the way it works in the kingdom. And we need to stop saying, I don't hear from God. I don't know what to do. We need to stop saying, I don't hear from God and I don't know what to do. We need to stop saying that. What are we going to believe? We're going to believe his word or we're going to believe what we feel? Or we're going to believe his word or we're going to believe what we think? How many of you would agree that we have stinking thinking a lot of times? It's just wrong. We think like the world thinks and like the flesh thinks. And you know, that's carnal and that's the way the devil thinks. So somebody says to me, what are you going to do? What you going to do, little Tony? What you going to do? What you going to do with this situation? What are you going to do with this problem? How are you going to handle this, huh? 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 What do I say? This is what I say. I will know when the time comes. I will know when the time comes. When the time comes that I need to know, I will know. I can rest in that because I know God's got me. I know it's his plans. It's not my plans. So I will know as soon as I need to know. But if I don't believe that, and I'm constantly searching and stressed out and trying to find out which is the way to go, then I'm going to stay in that stressed out place because I'm not in faith. I'm not believing that God is truly leading me. Who's doing this? You or the Holy Spirit. Both of us. Both of us. We'll go over to Psalm 32, 8, go back. Psalm 32, verse 8. Give me a little more time. I think this is going to hit you. Psalm 32, 8. What does that say? I will instruct you and teach you. He said, I will. God, the one who created you, said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, how many of you would agree that God's eye sees everything? Does he miss anything? Does God ever say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, partner, I didn't see that one coming. I feel really bad about that, you know. No, his eye sees everything. All the way to the end. All the way into eternity. Every last breath you're going to suck on this side. He sees everything about you. He sees it all. Everything that's going to come. I will guide you with my eye, he said. I'm glad he didn't say, I'm going to show you how to use your eye. It's his eye. He promised to guide us. It's only believe. It's only believe. So what is it like? It's a knowing, okay? It's to discover his plan is to know it on the inside of you. To hear him is to hear him on the inside of you. We are not to be led by externals. We are not to be led by circumstances. We are not to be led by the things that are happening around us. We are not to be led by our feelings. The Spirit of God and your spirit have become one. And when he speaks to your spirit, you know something. Your head probably won't be able to figure it out. But on the inside, you know. Someone will say, well, why are you thinking that? Why are you wanting to do that? Well, I just know. It's God. I can't give you a list of reasons. I just know it's God. So he declares, the Bible says that God declares the end before the beginning. He declares the end of your life. He declares where you're going to be, what you're going to do, how great your life's going to be before you even start. And everything about God is good. Everything he plans for you is good. There's nothing, God doesn't plan anything bad for you. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, the world is going to pressure us big time to lean on our own understanding, to be able to figure these things out, even in a religious circle, to be able to comprehend how all this stuff works instead of just believing. When we believe, then the Spirit of God will give you the understanding. But we try to do it, religion tries to do it the other way around, to get understanding here and think that that's the end of it. Knowledge puffs up. Right? That's the way it works with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, but in all your ways, but in all your ways, say all your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Acknowledge him. How do I do that? Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for dwelling within me. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for opening my eyes as they need to be opened. Thank you for driving darkness out and bringing in light. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm acknowledging him. I'm acknowledging that he's the life. He's the source. He's my source. It's not people around me. It's not things around me. It's not money. That's not my source. No, he's my source. As I do that, I get to walk more into his plan. What I didn't understand for many years is that I had to, like, for instance, when I knew inside of me that I was going to be doing this. What I did not know was that God declares the end before the beginning. And the beginning needs to be there so that we can be trained for what's coming. And I didn't know that I had to be enrolled in the school of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that I had to learn. I thought that, okay, I was going to step when I knew God wanted me to do this kind of stuff. I thought I was just going to, the next step was just going to be, hee-yah! Man, look at this, man. All this stuff is happening. Yeah, so many billions of people. Oh, wow. I didn't know. I'm going to show you a scripture next. It's just going to be racked me, change my life. He sees everything. He sees everything. Look at, okay, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, 23. Look at this. The steps. Say steps. It doesn't say jumps. It doesn't say leaps. The steps of a good man or a righteous man. How do you become good? How do you become righteous? Your spirit, when it's born again, becomes righteous, becomes good. Okay? That's... Those of you who are born again, everyone in this place, okay, in God's sight, you're a good man, you're a good woman. They are ordered by the Lord. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. What does ordered mean? It means directed and established. Your steps. Huh? Let it sink in good. He ordered. Okay, yeah. God ordered for you. God pre-ordered the greatest meal you could ever imagine for you. God ordered for what you're going to be able to eat off the rest of your life. He already pre-ordered it. He puts an order in place. And there ain't nothing you're ever going to be able to eat from that's going to be able to compare to the order that God made for you. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to take us into that, take us into it. Here's what I want you to see. The steps. God leads by steps. God leads by steps. How many of you've received the understanding in your spirit at some point of some great thing that God wants you to do? If y'all had, okay, how many of you, when that came, you thought, oh, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do that. Well, don't do that. Because God always shows you the end before the beginning. He declares that to you. So he declares that to me, and I tell my wife, okay, this is what we're going to do. And she looked at me, she said, I knew that. She said, I knew that. Okay, well, so we stepped on into it, and then I thought I was going to go from hearing that to now being all over the world and seeing all this amazing thing happen. And at this ministry here would just be huge, and you know, many, many lives are going to be affected, and that was just going to like happen like right now. And I didn't understand. God leads by steps. You see, I had to have my character built. I had to come to the place where I was not giving my opinion, but just simply giving out of love the truth to someone that needed it. I had to come to the place where I could die to myself and my own desires and yield to the will of the Father in everything. You are, if you believe that. You are. That's the truth. That's truth. If you believe it. Everything comes to us as we believe. Okay? God leads us by steps. What I didn't understand is sometimes the steps are backwards. And there were many times I felt like, it ain't working. It's not happening. And the enemy's purpose and intention is to get me to think that what God showed me and put on my heart, it's never going to happen. That I missed it. Oh, I remember when my dad was really sick and getting ready to go home with the Lord, and I knew in my heart I needed to be with him. I needed to spend time with him, and put other responsibilities aside for a while. It was a while, and many of the people that were in the church at that time, we had like 150 plus people in here at that time. And many of the people didn't like the fact that I wasn't around much. And a whole bunch of them bolted. And some of them came to see me and told me that, you know, they didn't appreciate what I was doing. And, you know, enough of them got in my face that I began to think, maybe I've missed it. Maybe I'm not supposed to do this. Do you understand that's going to happen to you? That there are people that will, when God plants in you what his purpose for you, there will be people that will try to convince you that that's not right, and you missed it. And you missed it. I love those days and all that time I spent with my father. He because he was, his flesh was so weak at that time, he was just operating out of the Spirit. I had never seen him in my life ever operate like that. He was operating in the Spirit. He was prophesying all the time. And he, before I ever went to Africa, he looked at me and said, son, you're going to Africa. I said, say what, Dad? We were only in South America, you know, Haiti, more local places. And he said, son, you're going to Africa. You're going to go all over Africa. It's already been planned, he told me. Whoa. He's getting caught up in these visions, you know. He's up into heaven. And he's telling me about what heaven's like. Oh man, it was like, you know, and then I got these church people telling me that, you know, I'm off base and I'm not honoring my responsibilities, and you know, and it took a toll on me because I wasn't clear. Then when God calls, okay, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, Scripture says. The gifts and the calling of God, when he gives them to you and he releases them to you, he don't never take them back. You may walk away. You may choose to go another direction. He never takes them back. And the devil will work night and day to get you to believe something different. Something different. It's not true. I remember I came back from from Uganda with malaria. And it was the worst strain. I found out from the health department, the worst strain of malaria in the world. I went deaf. I lost a lot of my sight. I had the feeling of being insane. My mind was constantly thoughts going like that. I couldn't put two thoughts together. And here's what happens, okay? While I'm at home, trusting God for the release to get me back to normal, which I was, people from the church came. And this is the kind of stuff I got. You know, we're very sorry that you're sick. We really believe God showed us that it's because of sin in your life. And here, you know, I'm in this condition, and I'm listening to the people that should be loving me like I've done nothing but love them to do this to me. And I'm sitting there and said, and it's just all I could do, the only thoughts I could gather up was, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. Father, I trust you. I trust you. I couldn't formulate a response because my mind wasn't able. All I could do is, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. You're my deliverer. You're my healer. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I had one after another come. We lost half the church at that time. Again. With people coming and telling me all that I was doing wrong. Now, where do we go with that? If you know the plan of God, that stuff is not going to touch you. If you know the plan of God, you will know that for the enemy to get at you, he's going to pick people that are close to you. That's why he will try to get you to say something nasty to him. That's why the devil will try to get you to say something nasty to her, because that's going to hurt the most. You're going to take that most serious. You know, if she starts telling you you're a bozo, okay, she doesn't love you anymore. It happens. It's like, oh, okay. It's okay. Well, you got the right attitude. That's good. That's good. Okay. Yeah. We are led by steps. I had no idea how much I needed to learn. I had no idea how much I needed to learn about the love of Jesus Christ for people. And it didn't make any difference what the heck I thought. What mattered was how much God loved them and how much God cared for them. I had no idea that that love that was in the Holy Spirit had shut in my heart was meant to be released for people who were not lovely, who were not caring, who would spit in your face. But that love was meant to be released to them. Okay, not criticism, not judgment, not pouring guilt on them, not telling them all the things that are wrong. I had to be in school for years to learn in order to come to the place where God could do in my life what he's doing right now. I had to be in school to learn. It's not about me. It's not about my opinions. It's not about what I think. It's about the heart of God for people who are hurting. Amen. Amen. I didn't know I would need so long to grow up. But I did. And I do. And I'm not all the way grown up yet. That's for sure. But now I understand. I'm going by steps. And here's something else that I understood. All those things that come, you know, that I feel like I'm taking steps backward. And I'm moving farther away from the call. Farther away from what I know in my heart I'm longing to do, and feel like I'm moving farther away. I didn't realize this. It was like God had me in a slingshot, and he's pulling it back. He's pulling little Tony back in a slingshot. He's pulling me back, and pulling me back, and pulling me back, and pulling me back. And all this stuff is coming against me. And all this stuff is trying to convince me that I can't fulfill this call. And it's not really a call for me. And all this craziness. And he's pulling it back. He's pulling me back. And then all of a sudden, and oh God. There's been a few times now he's done that to me. And I say, Holy Spirit, I felt like I was so far away from the glory zone. I felt like I was so far away from looking and acting like Jesus. I felt I was so far away from the call that I thought that I had on my life. He said, I know you felt that way. He said, but you had to die to those feelings. Are you dead? I just want to serve you, Jesus. He said, that's why I released it. That's why I put you there. Because now you can more accurately represent me. You can give people a better picture of me. So you're going to know it. You're going to know in your heart. And here's another way. You're going to know by the peace of God in your heart. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, when I say no, I mean, you all know what I'm talking about, right? There's things that God puts in you that you know. You just absolutely know this was God. Right? Not rationalizing, not trying to figure it out, not trying to figure out what God wants you to do. It's not that at all, okay? It's you knowing on the inside, this is what I need to do. This is what I have to go. It's that knowing, okay? And along with that tandem comes Colossians chapter 3. Okay, are you going there? Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That word rule is the word umpire, English word for umpire. If you're in a baseball game, have anybody ever watched baseball games? No baseball fans here? Oh, okay. Who's really running the game? Who's really running the game? The umpire. He's calling the game. He's calling the plays. He's calling the shots. He says no. He says yes. Whatever he says, that's the rule. Okay? Yeah. Well, the same way with us, the Holy Spirit will say, strike. Strike. Oh, outside. That's a ball. Up. Take a base. The umpire, the peace of God. Let the peace of God be the umpire. Okay, so if you really believe God has told you something, okay, and you begin moving forward, you got to take a step. You can't sit back. You've got to take a step. If you believe God's told you that you need to be on a mission trip, then you need to take the step. If you don't take the step, you're going to be holding back from what God has for you. Okay, if he didn't tell you that, you do whatever you want to do. But if you believe he told you that, you better take the step. Nancy's looking at me like, what the heck's with you? How many years, Nancy? 48 years. Married 48 years. Yeah. So, you know, now I take serious when she gives me the looks. Because after 48 years... Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's like when we were a lot younger. Nancy looked at me and she said, "We got to go see Grandpa. Her grandpa. We got to go see him. We got to go see him now." Okay, we hadn't seen him in quite a while. We didn't hear anything was going on, and we went to see him, and we had a great day with him. And he's given us all these things. He said, "I want you to have this. Here, I want you to have this. Here, I want you to have this." We had a wonderful day with him. We left, got a phone call the next morning, he died. She knew, not her head, on the inside, we got to go. She didn't know that he was going to die. She knew, okay, the Spirit of God said, you got to go visit him now. And she knew that. That's the knowing that I'm talking about, okay? You know, that we don't understand. We don't understand it. But He does. So here he's saying peace, the umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire. If you start moving forward and you get real unsettled on the inside, then stop going. Turn around and go back. Okay? That wasn't God. You will always have his peace. You will always have his peace abiding in you when you're stepping into his plan. That makes it easy. Right? You got the umpire living. You got the umpire living inside of you. So we got to take a step, okay? The witness of the Holy Spirit. We've got to take a step to allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to give a witness to our step. Okay, the witness of the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. It's not in your circumstances. How many times you hear this? Well, man, I guess it must have been God because, man, I got a pay raise. I'm getting more money now. See, God doesn't talk that way. You can get blessed. Okay, but if the way God speaks is through your spirit, and you know something, You know, there's been many, many people that I've seen over the years, and they say, yep, I got a great job out west. I'm leaving. I'm going there. And in my spirit, it's like, yeah, I don't think that was God. But I don't say anything. When somebody tells me, God told me, I don't say nothing. They're going to need to find out. But how many of you know that we don't make decisions based upon money? We don't make decisions based upon jobs. We don't make decisions based upon, oh, I'm going to be able to get a house. We don't make decisions based upon our circumstances are going to get better. You don't make decisions, not as a born-again believer. We make decisions based upon the knowledge that he gives us on the inside. When you know this is right. I'll tell you, the way it works with God a lot of times is he wants you to be somewhere where you don't want to be. He wants you to bring his kingdom, his life into a place that you don't really want to be. Maybe you think this is not really where I'm getting blessed. Maybe this is not really where it's working for me. But he wants you to be there to release his life, to release his kingdom. Okay, all advancement comes from him. He's our source. When God steps you, gives you a step into his plan for your life, it's never based upon money, good situations. Those blessings can come. But how many of you know the devil can bring to you a better paying job, and it's a devil presented job, and you're going to have an absolute nightmare in that job because it's not the plan of God for you. Remember, it's on the inside. You know on the inside in your spirit, and his peace will confirm it. How many times in my life I've gone against the peace of God and done things, and Nancy just shook her head. And later I said, I made a mistake. She said, I know. And she let me make it, knowing that she's going to have to come in and suffer the mistake with me. But she loved me that much to allow God to be able to train me and teach me. Amen. Okay, so one more scripture. John chapter 10. Are you there? John 10, let's read verse 4, 5, and 27. John 10, Jesus speaking, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Can you say it? Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Can you say it? I hear your voice, I know your voice, and I follow you, Lord. I hear your voice. Now you may be feeling like, I don't really hear the voice of the Lord. Who said this? Who's saying this? Jesus is saying it. Are you his? Do you belong to him? And he's saying, if you believe, everything's conditioned upon, do you believe? If you believe that you are hearing and you will hear the voice of your shepherd, the voice of Jesus, then you will hear it. But we must believe first. Believe comes first in the kingdom. I believe. I hear the voice of my shepherd. And I follow him. I believe. I hear the voice of my shepherd, and I follow him. I believe. I hear the voice of my shepherd, and I follow him. How about you? You say that? I believe. I hear the voice of my shepherd, and I follow him. And I follow him. He's leading. He's leading, and I'm following. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the devil comes and puts this thought into your head. Okay, but what if you miss it? And what if it's a devil speaking to you and you go ahead and you do what the devil's telling you to do? I'm telling you, that will never be a knowing on the inside. That will always be a thought that comes to your head. The devil cannot get in your spirit. The devil gets in your head and puts thoughts in your head. And we are not led by our thoughts. We're led by our spirit. And it's a knowing in your spirit that's filled with the peace of God as you step forward into it. Man, if you can get this, your lives will get whack changed. Oh, because all of you have got an awesome plan for your lives. And this is how he releases it. I don't know how many times. I'm trying to save you some years, okay? Oh, man, I wasted a lot of years going around the dang mountain and around the dang mountain and around the dang mountain because I thought, instead of going with my spirit where I know this is God. I know God is saying. If I don't know he's saying something, I ain't doing it. I don't care if that's not good English. Go to John 16, and then I'm done. I'm not promising, but I think. John 16, look at verse 13. Jesus talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13. I want to just look at the... Well, we've got to read the whole thing because I want to get to the last part of it. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't say, the Holy Spirit might tell you. He might tell you the things that are to come. He doesn't say, the Holy Spirit, after you've fasted and prayed for very long hours, after you've made sure that you don't miss any church services, he doesn't say, the Holy Spirit will. This is Jesus saying this. He's speaking it to our hearts. I'm telling you, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will. And Jesus' answer is only believe. Only believe. He will tell you things to come. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have been talking about for a long time now, also includes the Spirit of God showing you and leading you in the plans that were created for you before you were ever born. The grace, it's what God does for you, not what you do. God, through his grace, includes the Spirit of God showing you and leading you his plans that in eternity past, he saw you, he knew you, and he said, my daughters, I got something for you. And this is my plan for you. And when you see it, you're going to flip out. You're going to be so blasted happy. And he's saying, the Spirit of God, I've come to live inside of you, to lead you, and to teach you, and to direct you, and to show you this plan that I've got for you. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. So we tell him, Holy Spirit, I believe that you have come to show me and to lead me in a specific plan that my Heavenly Father has for me. You've come to show me and lead me in a specific plan that my Heavenly Father created for me before I was ever born. And in that place, I tell you, I am so blasted happy. I'm the dang happiest guy I know anywhere, because I believe I've done hit the groove. I've done hit the plan. I've done hit that place where God in eternity past said, little Tony, I've made this for you. You walk in it and you watch what happens. Have I been growing? Yeah, I've been growing tremendously. Have I had things that I questioned? Yeah, I have a lot of things I've questioned. But I know I'm in that groove. And every one of us, he wants us to know that. There isn't any one plan for anyone that's better than anybody else's plan. Every plan he's got for every one of us is amazing. And it's absolutely great. And it's for you. Amen.